Welcome to the Brian Thomas Podcast. In today's podcast, I speak with Emily Rhee, co-founder of The Restory, an aftercare company that restores luxury handbags, shoes, and clothes, and is now available in Brian Thomas. At The Restory, they combine the art of craft and the power of technology to make sure our loved items last, whatever their history. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brian Thomas Podcast. Emily Rhee, thank you so much for joining us on the Brian Thomas Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and we're delighted The Restory is now in Brian Thomas because you are giving life back to our most beloved possessions. Tell us a little bit more about this incredible business.
We are so excited to launch with Brian Thomas. I mean, you are our first international partner as a business. So for us, it's a massive milestone. The Restory itself is the first sort of technology and operations platform dedicated to aftercare. For us, it's about really enabling customers, brands, retailers such as Brian Thomas to really offer repair to their customers. Mm-hmm. And I think what's been difficult before is there's so many barriers to do that at scale. So for us, we've been building all the kind of technology and the systems and everything to finally make it easy. Like it should be at the touch of a button, like everything else. It should be nice and simple. So our mission is very much to power aftercare for the fashion industry. And we're the official partner to Manolo Blahnik, to Nicholas Kirkwood, to various retailers. We launched with Selfridges, and then, you know, to extend that with the Selfridges group with Brian Thomas is amazing.
It's fantastic. So tell me, if I haven't experienced the service of The Restory before, how does it work for a customer? How does it work for a consumer who has a pair of much loved shoes that are just falling apart, but we don't want to say goodbye?
So I would say absolutely everyone has something in their wardrobe that they love that needs a little bit of aftercare. Yeah. And what we do is we try and make it as easy as possible. So for Brian Thomas, what you can do is you just simply go to the website and you book a collection from home. It's €18. The return is complimentary. And what will happen is you'll immediately get sent a label. You put whatever you want in that box. So there is no limit. All your clothes, all your shoes, all your bags, everything. And then we arrange your courier and collect from you. At the same time, what makes it really nice and easy is if you're popping into Brian Thomas or you want to go in and do that process, you just bring that bag of items in with you and drop it in store. And there's a destination, someone who can help you. And then they just register it for you. And we take care of everything in the back end. So once you've dropped it off, if you do have specific things you know you need, then it's great to tell us, like, I really want the zip looked at, there's a stain in the lining, anything for us to just have a good look at. But what we tend to do anyways is our team of experts will assess your item once we receive it. And we then send you a quote, and that is digitized. This is really where the tech kind of comes in to make it easy and educate you. So it's broken down. So as you just said, let's say you've got your loved shoes, we can then give you a list of services. So you might need a reheal, you might need a resole and some restoration, but we make sure that's broken down and you can then decide, you know, based on price, based on how long it will take, based on the service. Yeah. If you want to go with all of them, or you deselect some you don't want to have, and you've sort of got a basket and full control over how you want to use it. And at the same time, obviously, if you need a bit of help understanding a bit more, there's always someone at the end of a phone who can give you a call.
That's incredible. I can't tell you how hard it was to resist the urge to pull out all my old junk and go, what about this? Can we do this? But anyway, I'll just go into Brian Thomas with all of that old junk. But yeah, everybody has something, don't they, that they're just like so reluctant to say goodbye to. And particularly now, it's so important, Emily, that we don't say goodbye, that we don't go and repurchase something if we can put a bit of life back into it. It's a very important service, you know, and we talk about sustainability all the time on this podcast. It's hard to imagine one that is as sustainable as yours in terms of businesses in Brian Thomas at the moment.
Definitely. I mean, I think it is one of those things that everybody has an item, and there are so many possibilities with aftercare. I think, like, as soon as you start to understand a bit about the capabilities, you kind of, it opens your eyes up to anything that's actually possible. So, you know, from your favorite wedding shoes that you wore one day, you know, let's dye them, let's change the color and bring those back to life, to just something that is worn down, and generally, you know, regular upkeep is the best way to look after your items. So reheal, a resell, making that really easy to access, trustworthy, quick, and, you know, and something that then makes it last, right through to, you know, the whole strap has broken or the zip is gone, or all these ways that you can suddenly make your wardrobe work for you again.
That's really exciting. Okay, so I want to understand all the possibilities. Could I bring in a silk dress and get it in a different color? Does it extend to clothing?
So clothing, it really depends on the original kind of material. So if you've got a mixed material, then you're limited with what you can do. If it's natural, it will take the dye. And I think that's where the kind of education piece is so important. Yes. And I think that's where it's really good to understand what your product are. You know, with leather, there is a lot you can do to restore it, and with a lot of especially vegan leather made from PU and plastic, there actually isn't. So if you feel that, you know, that's very sustainable, you then have to think, well, also, will it last? How will I take care of it, and how will I repair it? Whereas a lot of sort of natural products, there are lots of ways that we can then kind of restore, repair.
And, you know, there was the period where everybody was, you know, buying the Gucci mules, and they were in a variety of colors. You're never going to go to your local, you know, grocery store and whatever, wherever you buy your little shoe dyes, and find that exact color. But you guys obviously can make everything just like new, you know, in terms of the different colors that all the Manolo Blahniks and the Gucci's all come in.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being able to do it at home.
I don't recommend it. It is very specialist.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's a really good point you touch on. Our team are really trained. So before coming to us, they usually have an experience within the space, but then they also have a 9-week training program. And within that, we're sort of segmented into expertise. So, you know, we've got some trade partners that are external, we've got some in-house, but the restoration team purely do restoration. And that means that when it comes to the colors, they're hand mixing and matching that color. Wow. Because actually what happens is, you know, at those Gucci loafers, for example, there will be a tannery with a huge piece of leather, and that will be dyed the color that, you know, Gucci defines, and that will then be made into product. So once you start using that product, the UV light will start to slightly change that color. And what we then need to do is restore what we receive, and we can restore it back to the original. So we'll look at, you know, usually under a handbag, there's a patch that hasn't been damaged. So from sunlight, if you open up the bag and you look inside at what original color it was, sort of under on the other side of a shoe, you can flip up the kind of tongue of the shoe and see what that is. And then we mix and match it back to that color. So it's actually hand mixed exactly to it. And the scuffs are filled again by hand. And I think this is a crucial piece of aftercare that historically it was very much started to see as a quick fix. It was not something that was valued at all. And actually what we've had to do, and we've been proud to do, is really kind of elevate aftercare again, align it with the luxury experience, and really recognize the craftsmanship and the skill it takes to do it. Because every repair is by hand, you know, it is all by hand. They all sort of need something a little bit different. And I think it's really important to really understand and value that again.
Yeah, I think so. And, as you know, that's an important point. And I do think it is undervalued. There's a little town that I'm often in, and there's on a little side street, a cobbler who I believe has been there since the year dot. And like, I just love bringing stuff to him, because like, it's just such a loving process. You know, I mean, he takes something and he analyzes it, and, you know, but it's hard to find the people like that, but you have obviously found them. So tell me about the team that you've put together.
So what we have is, I think fundamentally what was sort of our biggest challenge is now our biggest asset, which is technology.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of incredible service providers and repairers and people who are experts in a certain area, whether that's a cobbler or invisible mending for knitwear or sort of dyeing. And the difficulty with the whole business is there's been no technology to stitch that together. Mm-hmm. So that's been a huge focus for us. And, you know, what we've done is we've built an in-house team to simply do the services that are so advanced that they were not available on the market. But outside of that, we actually want to support the aftercare industry and onboard those partners. We then give them access to our technology so that they can continue to grow and expand, and we don't see that kind of industry die out. So I think what's very difficult for a lot of providers is the whole process is incredibly manual, as you will have found, you know, cobbler you're referring to. You need to go in, you give it to them, they then assess it, then they maybe give you a paper ticket, then that sort of goes on a queue, and there isn't sort of this automated system to really kind of remove that, not only kind of the admin and the piece that is not, you know, the expert, where you just simply want to be restoring and focusing on your craft and your skill, but also then to look back and understand the data, you know, how many reheals is your company doing? What's your capacity like? If you're supporting a bigger business, how much can you offer, and how long does it take to turn it around? And so the technology that we've built, you know, enables us internally, but is also there to enable all our partners. Mm-hmm. And when they work with us, they then get access to that to sort of ease the process, the operations, efficiencies, and then help them. If they want to scale up, we can then give them more sort of volume and they can build their business. And then obviously the other key part with the technology is customer facing, to make it easy. So our team is made up of, we've got an incredible technology team. We've got, you know, operations, and then, you know, a dedicated client services team who really understand the process and can support the customer through that. And then the internal atelier with the support of multiple trade partners that we're continuously onboarding and growing.
And it's amazing, you know, how it has scaled and grown, particularly in the last couple of years when we haven't been wearing shoes or using our bags. And also because each restoration is unique in its own way. So I might destroy a pair of shoes in a way that nobody else would manage. You know, so every individual client has a different problem. It must be very interesting and rewarding at the same time, Emily.
It is. It's incredibly rewarding. I would argue that the items we get at the Restory are very much the most valuable you can have, because you know, they're emotional. And a customer has decided at the point that they send it through to us that they want to invest in extending its life. And I think that is an incredible sort of relationship that customer has with that item, and for us to then restore and revive it and return it and have the customer kind of fall in love with it all over again is a really satisfying experience for the whole team. At the same time, you know, everyone thinks, oh my gosh, wait till you see what I've done to this. We've always seen worse.
Good.
And we see a lot of trends, you know, in lockdown. You know, yes, we were getting less heels, but we were getting a lot of trainers for cleaning. And, you know, we got a lot of handbags where, my goodness, my hand sanitizer spilled and damaged the leather, and shifted depending on the needs. But we do, you know, with the volume that we're at and the growth that we're at, we do recognize what the trends are and how to make that more efficient. And then, you know, in that way, we can also present the customer with more transparency around the service and costs and everything involved. So we're always working to try and simplify that.
And what, like, you know, it's a very unique service, and now you've created something that is globally so valuable. You've got new partners, and now you're in Brand Thomas, and you're growing so quickly. Tell me, what was your background, and how did you stumble upon this? How did it become your business?
So initially, the business was born out of my co-founder's personal frustration.
Okay.
So she is our CEO, and she's a New Yorker originally, and was just frustrated that she couldn't understand, you know, London especially is the home of Savile Row, and, you know, why can't we then have this capability to do trusted aftercare? We were then introduced through a friend of ours, and I've got a real passion for sustainability and love sort of making things last. And I think inherently, I don't know why, I've always kind of loved repair. My family, it's always been, you know, takes apart the coffee machine and repairs it. Like, it's a bit of a home thing. Then alongside us, we had Thais, our co-founder. So it's the three of us, actually. And she's a fashion designer. So she really created the techniques and everything that we apply and use today. Vanessa's background, she was an investment analyst and a management consultant. I was actually in music management for 10 years.
Wow.
So I was sort of building more artists and those brand strategies and campaigns and running those internationally. And, you know, that is an incredible way to learn, because you sort of work across everything as artist management.
Yeah, of course.
And so the three of us kind of are really strong team, in the sense that, you know, Vanessa leads on investment and the kind of wider business strategy. And Thais is obviously, you know, she's built out the atelier and the quality and the way that we do the service that really sets our standard to align with luxury. And then I look after all the marketing and the business development. So I love sort of telling the story and the craft and the content to really show what we're doing. And then working with partners such as Brown Thomas to just really make it easy. You know, what I want to understand from the partner is what their focus is and how they want this to come through to their customer. And then we can provide that solution to enable it.
That's amazing. And you tell the story very well. I'm sure that you've learned some lessons in terms of business along the way. So what have been the biggest lessons that you've come across in the years since you've launched the Restory?
I think I could probably split it into two. So I'd say as a business, what we've really learned, especially in this space, is how important customer education is.
Okay.
And expectation management. So, you know, if we, again, without the technology, if we were just to deliver you, you need, you know, a new shank, you might say, well, what on earth is that? And what's that going to do?
Yeah, do tell, because I'm wondering.
So within the quote, it's really important that it has a sort of a breakdown of what the service is. You can learn more about it. You know, you can look at a picture and understand, you know, if you're resoling and we say, well, would you like a leather sole or a protective sole? You might say, well, I just don't know the difference. And I think that is really important to educate the customer and empower the customer to make the decision. And then expectation management. I mean, we're a service business. We're receiving product in all different conditions. We do not promise to have it as new. These are loved, cherished items that have been worn. And what we do is really educate you with expectation. And, you know, if the service, you will still see the repair, we want you to know that before you go ahead with it. And we want you to understand what the result will be. If you request something that we don't recommend because we worry about the result, we'll advise you of another solution that might work better. So I think as a business, those two have been really key in
scaling. Yeah. But what is a shank?
The shank is the piece that goes across the whole shoe. And usually like in a heel and stuff. So if it starts to sort of pull apart, then you need that replacing. But it can then need that kind of expertise for someone to really educate you.
But that's it, yeah. And I could imagine, you know, that there would be the odd customer that would expect, you know, something box fresh coming back. And you know, I don't think you want that either. Like, I mean, there's love gone into, you know, the shoes, and you've had good days and nights in them. So yeah, like to have them like new, it just wouldn't always be possible, of course.
To be honest, it depends on the service. So a very popular one is sort of stiletto heels. And if you've scuffed them, we can then replace the whole leather around the outside. Wow. Now that is like new. But if you've got shoes that you've worn and it's created a crease on the sort of corners of the toe, that is the way you wear them. And that is the style of the shoe. So if we restore that, that will happen again. And it's just sort of understanding that's not something to be resolved. That's the wear of the shoe. And we can recolor it so that, you know, if that's worn away, that can then come back. But the crease is kind of shaped to your foot and how you wear them. So it's kind of just giving them that understanding of what is possible and also what is not possible, but is okay as well. Like it doesn't need to look like new, that part.
Yeah. And sometimes people like that broken look, you know, and you want to maintain that. You're obviously privy to the purchases of thousands of clients. This must inform your approach to buying now. You must be like, well, I'm not going to buy them because they're coming in left, right and center and they're falling apart. Have you become a lot more savvy in how and what you buy?
Well, I think one of the things that I think everyone needs to really understand is the shift that actually if something needs aftercare, that doesn't mean it's bad quality.
Yeah.
And actually you wash your clothes and you service your car and you replace the battery in your watch, but you don't think, oh my goodness, why does this t-shirt need a wash? It's covered in stains.
Yeah.
Recognize that's wear and tear. And I think it's really like sort of applying that approach to your wardrobe. And you know, scuffing and you know, wearing down heels, that you should use your items. However, for me, I think, you know, I'm very passionate about more natural product. And, you know, we definitely see, for example, leather, there is so much restoration we can do. And if it's natural, we can provide that. PU and once you put plastic in that, there isn't. So I do kind of veer a lot more towards more natural kind of products and materials. And then I think, again, it's understanding what you need to do at home. And, you know, leather is a skin. We mustn't forget that. And we, especially as women, are very good at moisturizing our own skin. But actually your leather goods also need moisture. And there are, you know, we recommend sort of Carnauba cream, which is a leather cream. Don't apply it to nubuck, suede or veg leather. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you know, if you're using a little bit on an item, you're going to really protect it and keep it moisturized and keep it supple. And so I think it's understanding what you buy and how to take care of it, which mm-hmm. which would be like my biggest lesson and what I see kind of internally. And then I would say regular upkeep. Don't wait till it's completely exhausted. We'll still take care of it.
but it's a bigger job, of course.
But it's then bigger. And then you start to think, oh, gosh, this costs so much. And actually, you know, if you'd just done the toe piece when it needed that, that would then prevent, that's more preventative. And I think there's a lot of things we can do that.
What are the top three things that you're, top three items that you're seeing coming into the restory?
Goodness. I mean, we have such an incredible range. It is amazing. And I think we've sort of got the best of the best in there. So we've got everything from your very classic sort of forever pieces, so Louis Vuitton tote bags, through to Chanel quilted flat bags, you know, white leather trainers, ballerinas, as you said, the Gucci loafers. So those are sort of the classic evergreen products that we get. And actually, we get so many of them, we've been able to set prices for actually everything I've named. There is a set price because we know what it takes, what it needs and everything. And then what's quite fun is when we see, especially with the trend, the new items kind of come in of what's on trend. So definitely when we get the little Jacquemus tiny bags coming.
Oh, God.
Adorable. Or Amina Muadi, you know, the beautiful shoes with the crystals on. So we suddenly see, you know, certain things that suddenly come into trend, and then they, we receive them in the atelier to either, you know, clean or reheal, or, you know, because they're usually relatively new but they still require some services. So it's a whole range, to be honest.
It's so interesting. So you've mentioned, you know, moisturizing your leather and how to do that and how to look after it. Have you any other advice for people to ensure, you know, their beloved goods last as long as possible? Obviously, as you also mentioned, not letting them fall apart before you go to that point of saying I might need some work.
Definitely. I mean, exactly as you said, don't wait too long. And if you do, that doesn't mean it's game over. Never think it's game over. Always send it in and we'll have some solutions for you. But, you know, as we're saying, if your knitwear has a tiny little hole in it and you send that in, we'll have the most perfect invisible mend and it'll be protected. And if you leave it, it's just going to unravel and get bigger and bigger. And then it might not be an invisible mend because it's so large. We need to then do something a bit more creative. So definitely regular upkeep. And then I would say, the basics that everyone sort of puts off but really go a long way. Waterproofing suede and nubuck really helps protect those. I also absolutely love protective soles. So this is a sort of rubber, very thin sole, and it lasts such a long time. It's non-slip. And then there's just lots of tips and tricks. So for example, like you said, you know, using Carnauba cream on leather, if you're wearing suede and you know, get mud on them, wait until it's fully dry. Don't touch it. And then a very clean brush, like a toothbrush, and just brush that gently off so that you don't damage the nap. If you're going to start wiping it, you're going to really push it in and kind of use that. Another favorite that we have is actually if you've got smelly trainers, make sure they're dry. So don't do it if they're damp and they've been out wet, but then just put a tea bag inside each of them and that really absorbs the smell.
What a great hack.
It's amazing. If you've got wet shoes, again, don't try and put them next to a radiator and any sort of false heat, and keep things out of damp areas, and that will really help protect them as well.
Should we be stuffing our shoes or bags? Should they?
You know, leather is, it's got a memory to it. So if you're going to stuff it into your closet and it's got nothing in it, it's going to crease and fold and you're going to lose that whole shape and the structure that it was designed to have that you probably fell in love with. And if you just put, you know, an old towel or an old pillow in it and keep it in a dust bag, it will really protect it.
Oh, amazing. Your wardrobe must be pristine, Emily. Tell me, what does the future look like? So, I mean, the growth and the development, particularly from a technological point of view, has been, incredible. So what's the next step for you guys? Where do you go from here?
So I think, when we started, we really had to build the category itself and really prove that aftercare could be luxury, it could be quality, it can be trusted, and it can sit alongside and be integrated into the whole fashion buying experience. I think we really managed to do that over the last kind of 5 years. And now with everything we've built, it's about letting the brands and retailers leverage those solutions so that they can give access to all their customers. I think for us, the mission really is like giving everyone access to trusted aftercare wherever you are in the world, and just making it easy, accessible, and inspire them to use it. So, we're looking to really power aftercare for the whole fashion industry, whether that's, the end-to-end solution and actually the services through our trade partners and our marketplace, or now just the technology. There are some brands that will just want to take that technology and use it to build their own aftercare. And that is now technology available for the first time for aftercare. It's always been available for sort of e-commerce or a single sale, and actually aftercare has quite a different need, and that's something we've built. So yeah, we're after world domination, which is not small
Enough. Oh my God.
at a time, but I mean, we were thrilled that our first outside of the UK is Brand Thomas to have in Ireland. So that's kind of been our first step in this international plan.
Well, we're so thrilled to have you. And it really is, it's such an important business model. And from an educational point of view, like we need to know that we can breathe life into these items again, and we don't need to rebuy them. So you're saving the planet too, Emily. Thank you. Okay. It was so lovely to chat to you, and thanks a million.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.